From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Wild Michigan, I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network. Very happy to have you here on these hot days of summer, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Go to our website, click through the link to notjustguns.com, and my good friend Dave Hodges, our sales executive here for Wild Michigan, is doing a great job with the folks over at Not Just Guns as well, putting together an everyday carry page. Going to put some audio from Wild Michigan up there and find out what you can find there at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, and they do their Wednesday night auctions, man. Big fun. If you're into buying firearms, selling firearms, they are the guys to go to, and they are super friendly and super helpful in the business. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense for joining us. A very busy time of year for Doug and Karen Roberts, and of course our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. We're going to speak with Doug Roberts here in a little bit, because as Andy Provenzano, back in May, or back in actually I think April it was, we had Andy Provenzano, who's a good friend of mine and a meteorologist, said, yeah, look for these 90-degree days in June and July, which is fantastic for antler growth, especially if they're getting the proper nutrition. And maybe, you know, I'm just saying, if you're in an area listening to the show that you can use Lucky Buck, that's probably helping with the antler growth a little bit. Also helps with the doe and fawn nutrition. But then again, that's for folks listening outside of Michigan, right? Because we're not allowed to technically use minerals and supplements, things of that nature. But we're going to talk with Doug about that. But right now, joining us on the Conquest Sense hotline is Brian Brosdahl. We all know him as Bro, pro angler, and ambassador for such great brands as Frabel and Northland Tackle, Fish Monkey Gloves, which we're going to be talking about new stuff for winter already. We're going to talk about new stuff for winter coming up in the second segment of the show. But right now, Bro, we knew this weather was coming because Andy Provenzano is a great meteorologist, and he was right on target with these hot days. But what does that mean for panfish, man? That, aside from the fact that I don't want to go out in a hot boat. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I tell you, I love ice fishing, and these are the days I struggle through. I'm a bigger guy, and I love 70-degree temps, but there's been quite a few days I've been guiding. It's been 94 degrees and flat calm, and a little wind helps, but the fish are biting like crazy and we're sweating through it. But panfish are really revving up. The hotter the water, the better they bite, and the biggest gills, and they get great growth rates too, just like the deer with the antlers and the lucky buck. I mean, you get some hot water, the panfish are going to just get bigger faster. And that's the whole thing, is that they've just got such a short time to grow. And right now it's some of the best bluegill and crappie fishing we've seen in a long time. And that being said, I take trips for walleyes every day. I'm selfish. I like to keep the panfish to myself. But I'm actually going to be heading out to go fish bluegills because they're on fire. And I'll definitely post some stuff here later today. But it's going to be good. And these things are really aggressive right now.
You know, and that's weird because I know a lot of like bass and things like that, they don't like the hot water. They like it, it's a little bit cooler. I mean, they get a little sluggish around this time, but the panfish are heating up. I got a friend that's going down to Alabama right now, which is insane, to do some crappie fishing. Let's talk Michigan. I mean, we're pretty used to this hot heat and humidity, but how is that affecting the fish? Are they running into deeper green weeds, or are they hitting a little bit shallower water?
Well, the hot water, the fish will be on the deep weed lines, but they'll start moving up on top as the water greens up with algae. Algae's natural. It's not a bad thing. It actually takes some of the oxygen out, but panfish, big jumbo perch, and walleyes will be right up on top in spots, and they get overlooked as the warm water comes upon. Some of the best walleye fishing you could have is right up on top of bars where there's shallow flats with caro weeds and shallow is a relative term. And when you're talking about big lakes, some lakes just don't have a lot of shallow water where 15 to 20 feet might be shallow. And these big expansive flats are where the walleyes are going to be coming up feeding on crayfish. And there's going to be all kinds of bait fish. Any kind of vegetation mixed in is always a bonus. But big, you know, crappies and bluegills will be always in the on the deepest weed lines. But if there's any kind of hatches coming in, so any weed line facing the main basin is always going to have fish. And on small lakes, same thing. A simple weed line or weed patch that faces the basin, the hatches come out of the basin, and that's where they're there to intercept the food as it comes up.
Well, you know, let's talk about a place like Houghton Lake. It's a great big mud puddle in my world. It's deepest spot, bro, is 22 feet, as we're talking to Brian Brosdahl here on the Conquest Sense Hotline here in Wild Michigan. 22 feet at its deepest. And this is what I've been told over the years, and I'm sure the locals will concur. But there are spots in that lake where you can literally walk around the whole thing, like from one end to the other, because it's so shallow.
Yeah, those I love lakes like that. They just have more area for fish to grow and to thrive, and they do really well on lakes like that. We have, sister lakes to that lake here that you wouldn't think would produce big fish, but they're just an environment that grows big everything. Nice bluegills, pumpkin seeds, crappies, and even big walleyes over 10 pounds, some of these shallow lakes, and it's amazing, but there's so much food in there. And if you're actually into, if you're at a beach or if you're swimming, you'll notice when your feet go into the weeds, they're really cold. The fish survive well, and as long as there's good vegetation, they'll be okay. Shallow lakes are susceptible to summer kill, and even deeper lakes if they get warm enough. But most of the time, it just takes out suckers and tulipies, maybe a few whitefish, and if there's bacteria, they'll take out the bluegills sometimes, but never gets them all. And, you know, eliminating some of the biomass creates growth. And so that's one of those lakes that I would love to fish just because you know you're going to get bit. And now how do you get fish out of thick weeds? You just got to fish vertical and drop and straight down through them and use a little RZ jig from Northland and a chunk of crawler, thumper heads with a little spinner. Drive around and speed cork drop a slip bobber with a chunk of crawler or a small leech down on them. Works really well when you mark fish. And if you can't mark them because it's so thick, drop an AquaView just to make sure they're there. A lot of times when I'm fishing lakes, just to narrow the search, today I'm going to have an AquaView on board that I can drop down. And it's a bigger one. It's an HD7, and it's heavy, and it's heavy duty. So I have a fin and a weight. I'll drop it down and drive till I see the panfish. And sometimes you can't see them on the electronics because they're buried in weeds. Well, this thing you can lift up and down and drop it down on the pockets to see them. And they're not afraid of it usually. Big bluegills and crappies will stare it down. And we use it all the time to find panfish in thick weed beds.
Brian Brosnall is our guest here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Bro, you know, it's funny. AquaView's come such a long way because my very first one, the camera looked like a sunfish. You know, I mean, now they've gotten beyond that. These cameras are super small. The fish are inquisitive because they don't know what it is. But again, it's not invasive and it's not scaring them away. And my gosh, the technology from a little black and white monitor that looked like a small TV set to these little flat panels they have now, it's just incredible.
Oh, it is. HD is the best. If the water's slightly darker or turbid, you can see much farther. It has a program for that to help you see through that stuff. And then, whatever you can see with the naked eye, it actually can see a little bit better. So definitely using the HD AquaView is the way to go. And I like how heavy it is for summer use.
All right, we're going to speak more with Brian Brosdahl coming up next. We're being brought to you by Not Just Guns and Mason. Click through on the link at our website, wildmichiganradio.com, for Not Just Guns.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense, Davidson, Michigan, makers of VS1 and Evercomb, and they are in their super busy time. We'll be talking with Doug Roberts coming up in a little bit. We might have a little problem with deer if we don't get some rain here in Michigan. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what you can do to help the herd as well. But right now we're speaking with Brian Brosdahl, bro out of Minnesota and a long, long time friend of the show here. And bro, real quickly, I want to talk about another species we don't really talk about much, but they can get quite big, quite feisty, and sometimes quite finicky as well. A couple of years ago, I was out with a friend on Duck Lake here, one of the duck lakes in Michigan, and just spot fishing, bro, saw some of the biggest red ears I've ever seen in my life. Those things get huge, but they just would not bite. They were super finicky.
Oh, yeah, that's a real challenging fish. And that's how they get big. They don't bite readily, just like bluegills or crappies and other stuff. In tournaments, they always win the ice tournaments if you get some big red ears, but a super challenging fish, but a lot of fun. And it's all about good live bait. I mean, if you can get crickets, if you can get small leeches, anything that wiggles and moves triggers them. And finesse tactics, using lighter line, 3 or 4 pound test, don't use real heavy line, light finesse rods like St. Croix Panfish series, and just present that bait down to them. And if you can use your AquaView in down view mode, if you got water where you could actually see, if it's not really, really dark, you could actually watch them and watch their behavior and react to it. Or just fishing below your electronics, you can see it just like an ice fishing mode on your Humminbird, but you can watch them. But it makes a big difference having good bait. If you're dropping a chunk of crawler and not getting a reaction, you know, you're definitely going to want to try to get something that's moving on your hook. And mm-hmm. I think that's important. Even, you know, these are creatures that during the heat of summer will take small fry, you know, young of the year perch, micro shiner minnows. If you can get really tiny crappie minnow and just impale it on the hook through the back dorsal, you could do really well. So just lively bait triggers these fish. And, you know, there's a lot of finicky panfish around, but it's hard to beat crickets if you can get them. And not every bait shop's going to carry them, but if you can get them or order them or check with your local shops, maybe they can get them for you. They'll work. And use your ice fishing tactics. You know, use a mud bug or gill getter with one of these, or a super micro gamma katsu hook. They have really tiny octopus-style hooks that you can hide in there mm-hmm. without a lot of extra hook exposed. And red ears are very possible. They just need something to trigger them.
Yeah, I did everything to make these fish mad, but they were not having it that day. I mean, there's a lot of activity on the water, too. I mean, there's a lot of speedboats and jet skis, things of that nature mixed in with the fishing. And, you know, I just don't think that they were in the mood to do anything. But still, the water was so clear, you could see how big these fish were. Mind you, taking into consideration the growth aspect that water gives, the reflection gives, they were still pretty big fish, and not one of them saw the surface. So that was why I'm asking that question, in case I go back out to that lake again.
But in the wintertime, they use wigglers, which is mayfly larvae, that work really well for red ears, you know, and it's this really finessey bait that's not always everywhere. You can't find that stuff everywhere. This stuff works really well for them, and they're finicky fish, but if they see something they want, they hit it right now. So I've talked to many people who've won tournaments fishing for them, and you just get that one thing that triggers the fish. So keep washing different bait down there and go into the bait shop and bring a selection of bait. It makes a big difference, and it could save your day.
All right, Brian Brosdahl is our guest here. I'm Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network here with Wild Michigan. Bro, let's talk ice fishing. And I know ice just went out about a week ago for you guys in Minnesota. Finally, this 90-degree weather got the ice out for you.
Oh, you'd be surprised what a jungle it is here right now. And temperatures in the 80s and 90s with real heavy humidity because of all the water. It's pretty sweaty hot up here. We dream about ice. This is why we love ice fishing so much, because we're not used to this kind of heat. But this is a good thing. It creates great growth in the fish. But ice, yeah, I dream about it all the time when I'm in a boat on a long, hot day guiding. But there's something real simple about ice fishing. You control your comfort zone better than you can in open water. You can add heat to your house. You can have an insulated house, frable house. In the summertime, the only time I'm comfortable is when I'm moving to spots. And sometimes I'll fish spots farther apart so I can use that built-in air conditioning in my boat. And right. just put some gas through that thing just to cool down. But when it's hot like this, you think of winter, and it's winter is so amazing, and it's a fleeting thing. It doesn't last long enough as far as I'm concerned. I know we get a longer winter than you do, but I just truly enjoy it. But this year, we're going to see some new stuff. I'm not at liberty to bring up some of the stuff. You know, we don't really have ICAST because of the...
Right.
Of the COVID, but there's going to be virtual stuff coming out, and I've got a glimpse. There's some really neat stuff all over the place. Even as strange as the times were, there's still the companies I'm with are working on stuff, and you're going to see some stuff debuting here in late summer and fall with electronics, fish houses, rods, reels, some pretty neat stuff. And then, of course, they're already working on stuff for the following year. So we've got ice fishing. There's going to be some really cool stuff coming out, and more on the electronics, fish houses and stuff like that. And all the companies are going for it, because fishing right now, even in these strange times, is you can't make enough product. That everything's getting bought out. If you go to shops all around, even Frank's up there in Linwood,
mm-hmm.
They can't keep stuff on the shelves. Everybody's fishing because they know it's safe, and product is selling like crazy everywhere.
That's awesome.
And boats are selling. They can't produce them fast enough because there's a shutdown. So if you're going to go pick up some stuff, I'd call ahead of time, because I've been calling. I called Frank's looking for reels because we have a shortage over here, and there's some tackle places here that are completely sold out of rods, trolling rods, even rods that you would use for dipsy diver. Everything's gone, you know, when you walk in. And
wow.
And it's a good sign. Fishing will survive.
Oh,
and
sure.
And they're doing great. You think, wow, this is the end of the world. No, some people really did well because so many people fished. License sales are way up, and it's really exciting. The only thing is it's hard to get stuff right now. But, it'll be interesting to see if we keep stuff in stock this winter. So if you're thinking about buying something, an Aquaview or a Humminbird or any kind of rod, tackle, fish house, get there early. I'm telling you, you better check with your local store and make sure you get there when that stuff comes in, because it ain't gonna last.
All right.
It's gonna sell out.
Brian Brosdahl, our guest, find it, and especially in Michigan where, you know, recreational marijuana shops being open and fishing wasn't okay. Remember that? Yeah, thanks, Governor. I thought I'd get that shot in. Got more coming your way. Find Bro on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Michigan Talk Network and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up our podcast there. Make sure you hit up Not Just Guns from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. They are part of the reason we are here, and you can pick up the podcast as well. And, you know, I think, and this is just me joking, okay? This is just me joking. We would never charge for the podcast, but if we were to charge a premium for the stuff you don't hear on air, the things that go on off air, I'd be a millionaire. I think I really would, because bro give me some inside information on what's going on in the fishing industry that I cannot share publicly, but I have it and I have it on tape, but I can't share it. But I mean, and honestly, and going back to the guy that just brought us into this segment, Ted Nugent, you talk about a light switch guy. I love Ted. He, off air, I think the world would love Ted, but the on air Ted, only half the world loves him. But the one of the most likable people I know in the deer business is my good friend Doug Roberts. We call him the Deer Professor, Conquest Sense, and oddly enough, he's on his own Conquest Sense hotline. Doug, we were warned back in like March or April when I had my good friend Andy Provenzano. We talked about this earlier before we come to you. Andy said we would see 90-degree days in June and July. And by God, if that man wasn't 100% spot on with the heat we have been having this year, which, unbelievable.
Yeah. This has actually gotten to the point it's actually stressful on all of the wildlife, but especially the white-tailed deer. But like you and I have said in the past, as stressful as this is, it's also wonderful antler-growing days, because they overheat and they're at their maximum. So that blood pressure is pumping faster and harder. It pushes more calcium out into the antlers, which pushes more antler growth. So antler growth is good as long as they don't, you know, stress out. And, again, people forget deer have heart attacks. They have aneurysms. You know, right now the humidity's up. So right now we're concerned, like on our farm, watching for pneumonias and different types that pop up with those high humidities. So there's other factors that play into this, but this heat is definitely pounding out the antler growth right now on the bucks.
Yeah, and like we mentioned earlier too, if you're in an area listening where you can use mineral products like Lucky Buck or whatever, not only are you helping with the health of the deer in general, the fawns and the does, because of what they've been through already through the course of the year, that is coursing through, if you've been doing it properly, through their bodies, selenium and those products going through their bodies, and that will help with antler growth as well. Again, we're in Michigan, lower Michigan can't do that, but hypothetically, if you're listening in an area where you can, that is a factor. Now, Doug, what are some of the things? I know it's a little late in the year to talk about it, to help antler growth, but with food plots, which we can do, are some of the things that deer look for that eat that help this, you know, their health and growth throughout the course of the hot months?
Well, speaking on what you just talked about, if you can put mineral supplements out, it's awesome, because you're building the immune system within those deer. Better the immune system, the healthier they are, the more they fight things off, such as pneumonias with high humidity right now. But let's go to food plots. Food plots are great, but the biggest concern right now, we had such a wet, wet spring, and now the water's turned off. And everywhere you look, the water's all dried up. And so water content in plants is what totally gives them the ability to take digestibility intake of the nutrients in that plant. Let me re-say that. Digestibility intake of the nutrients of a plant that a deer eats is totally dependent on the moisture content in that plant. Well, right now, if you look, everything's burning up. The plants are turning brown, so there isn't any moisture. So the biggest thing that a hunter could do to help the deer herd right now, bucks, does, fawns, all combined, is to make sure that they have a water source next to that food plot so they can get the water they need and the moisture to break down that plant that they're eating and get the digestibility intake into their system. Number one thing right now, and like at our place, there is no water outside our fence anywhere for probably a mile. I want those deer leaving my area, so I need to supplement water in some way or fashion.
Now, how do we do that? I mean, are we putting like big troughs out there, tanks, or even in smaller areas?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. I've actually seen guys that have taken those little plastic kiddie pools. They'll dig out the ground, they'll put that in there, and they fill it with water. They can just take tubs out. If you look at Banks, Banks Blinds, they also have a Banks watering system. And you can put those out there, and it's actually troughs that actually control the water coming out. Now, a lot of people will talk about, well, but the water can go stagnant, it can turn bad, and it does in hot temperatures. I would put it in a shaded area. It helps to keep it cooler. It helps slow down that bacteria buildup. But literally, you can put a super low level of bleach into the water. It kills all that off. It does not harm the deer one bit when they drink it. And actually, it can actually help clean their system a little bit. It's just a low level of bleach in the water as you do that. So, again, right now, looking at all of these temperatures, and again, we're going to have a cool, hopefully we get some rain this weekend. Hopefully it cools down. But it's supposed to be right back in 90s come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So the water issue is probably the biggest factor right now because the plants aren't holding the moisture inside for digestibility intake of that plant.
Man, it's all about, just like we talked about with fishing, it's all about the green and
absolutely,
you know, good, healthy plant life and water. And, yep, and, you know, we talked about this briefly yesterday on the phone, setting this up. When I see hot weather, when I see dry conditions, man, the first thing I start freaking out about is EHD. You know, will we see it on levels that we saw, you know, a few years back? I really hope not. And I hope, I mean, we had a rain come through Lansing, literally, that flooded an area yesterday where I live in Holt. Nothing, not a sprinkle, nothing. And just, I'm like, I didn't even know it rained.
Yep. Yeah, it's you know, it's very spotty and it's going to stay spotty. I mean, you think about it, we've got August temperatures in the beginning of July. We had them in June. It was predicted to be a very hot, warm, drier summer than normal. So we have to prepare. EHD, that is a big concern. Our industry, believe it or not, has a vaccine. There's three strains of EHD, and we have a vaccine for two of those, and we're finalizing for the third one. But you can't vaccinate right now. It's an injectable, so you can't do it to the wild. We're working on it, trying to get it into a food supplement, where you could actually vaccinate against EHD, and that would be wonderful until they build an immunity up themselves, but it's not there. So it is a great concern, especially looking at Iowa and some of these other states that have been hit hard, Illinois. They're just as warm, and it's going to hit there even before it hits Michigan, I think. And I just hope it cools down or we get a lot of rain again where it settles everything down and softens things up and keeps that at bay.
You know, I've been watching Doug Roberts is our guest here on Wild Michigan on the Conquest Sense Hotline. You know, I've been watching a doe and a couple of fawns. It's great because, you know, I've got gates that divide my back half of my yard between the wooded area and my open part that I mow. And it was so cool to see them coming in into the backyard where they've never been before, zooming around, eating clover and everything else. And, you know, and you got that mom looking at him like, would you guys just settle down? You know? But it's just such a great time of year to see the young of the year out. And you know, and now we really need to be cautious and helpful at the same time.
We do. And, I mean, you know, I've always said it too. Deer, just like people, what we go through in 70 years of life, they go through in 7 years. For every 10 years of our life, it's 1 year. And if you really look at their personalities, like you're saying, and they run around like kids and they're just carefree, that is a 1 to 10-year-old child.
Right, exactly.
And so you can really start to understand the and define ages and personalities and all of this within the deer. They all have that. And it's, you know, it's really fun to watch and learn. But there is a care factor that we, as hunters, conservationists, need to do. And I would say right now with this warm weather, again, I'm going to go back to it, really make sure you have a water source next to your food plots or in your hunting areas that those animals have that access to.
All right. Doug Roberts, our guest here. We're going to speak more with him coming up next on Wild Michigan.
This is Nick Munch with Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, boat knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan, and El Presidente joins us on the line right now. Good friend Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense. Doug, it's, I mean, we talked about the hot weather. We talked about how it affects, deer and antler growth and things of that nature, but how is it affecting movement, throughout the course of the year? I mean, we know a lot of times that they're really not doing much in the heat of the day. But how is it affecting the movement in the nighttime? And, you know, do we need to worry too much about driving? Because I still see a good number of deer on the side of the road that are hit, even though it's summertime.
Well, but you're exactly what you just said. You're exactly right. They're going to move at the coolest time of the day, which happens to be right now in the middle of the night. Again, let's go back to the water. Water sources are drying up. So they're having to move to areas that have natural water sources, streams, creeks, rivers, people's ponds that aren't drying up. They're going to move to those areas. They're going to take their fawns. They're going to try to go into the swampier, cooler areas, which is good and bad because, again, that's where the mosquitoes are. That's where the gnats are. Could be EHD. So there's plus and minuses, but deer are moving now simply because of the lack of water and the excessive heat. So that's why you're seeing, again, a number of deer killed on the road because they're having to move. They wouldn't move normally, but they have to have water to survive. So,
Doug Roberts is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Doug, I had a doe in my backyard the other day. And you know, there are some color variations throughout the course of the year. Of course, we have that beautiful reddish color right now that we see in the summertime. Which I absolutely love, especially when they're walking through a wheat field, you know, a winter wheat field with that gold against that red. It's just absolutely beautiful. But
yep.
I had a doe who's the muzzle, the whole mask area, all the way down, the center of her back was darn near black.
Yep.
And that was just the coolest thing to me. But, I mean, aside from, like, the rare piebald or maybe the albino, I mean, are there really that many variations?
Oh, my goodness, sir. Genetically, there are so many different variations. I mean, we have, you know, a line of does that are very, very black-faced, their nose, all year long, and they actually have a colic on the top of their head, and it's our son of the gun line. We know exactly what those does are out of. But then we have a whole other line, believe it or not, that are very pale or light-skinned. The males and females both look at 1 year old, they're white-faced. They look like they're 8 years old. And it's all genetics. So there are different variations in the coloring of the deer, even though we all see that bright, beautiful, reddish-orange summer coat. If you really look at them closely, there's a lot of differences in the deer.
Now, you said, a while ago, there was this little fawn that popped up, beautiful, had a complete white face, and mom didn't want anything to do with it. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. You said a doe can look at the fawn and go, I don't like you, and just leave it alone.
It happens all of the time. Moms, you know, and I think they have that, I call it this, you know, it's the sixth sense. It's that one that we can't describe, but we have noticed over the years, and again, 29 years of doing this, there are does that will give birth to twins. And they will look at one and accept it and take care of it. And the other one, they will look and just go, nope, something about you I don't like. And we always kind of joke about it. It's the look. And sometimes we do get those fawns that color-wise are really different. And mom's not as acceptable. But what we have found more of is they can sense a deformity of some sort inside the fawn. And already realize the fawn's not going to live. And they walk away from it immediately to give all of the milk to the healthy fawn. Again, I've always said, God created this animal so perfectly. The only thing he created better was humans. but he gave us a brain, and with our brain, we always seem to screw things up because we always think we're smarter than what we are. But, yeah, it's amazing how they can adapt and adjust and conserve. I really look at that. They conserve their nutrients for the fawn they know will live and make it or have the best chance, and they'll abandon the one that they feel doesn't have a chance.
You know, it just amazes me. And will another doe pick up that fawn, or is that fawn just basically screwed, for lack of a better term?
It does happen at times, but that fawn, if it has a deformity or let's say it's born much, much smaller than normal, all the other does already know that. If the actual mom abandons it, the other does will go, no, 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 no. Nature has to take its course. Now, we do have a few does on the farm, and none of ours are bottle fed. That will pick up other fawns if mom, let's say, happens to pass away for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They'll naturally pick that fawn up and let it nurse. But it's a rare, it's not the norm. It's more rare than you would think.
Speaking of Doug Roberts from Conquest Sense here in Davison, Michigan. Doug, I was talking with a guy, a longtime hunter and stuff, and he was telling me that he didn't realize that bucks are kind of doing their thing right now and does are off doing their other. He didn't realize the separation between the two. And as we talked, you know, I'm thinking at a point in time before I started the show, I probably would have been that same guy. You know what I mean? Thinking that deer all just run together and that's it. But it's not true. And for people that may be new to this, explain that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, you've got buck bachelor groups right now, and you will never find those bachelor groups. And again, in the spring, let's talk about in the spring when the fawns are ready to be born, the does will go into an area where you will not find any bucks, and the bucks will be more in the swampier, cooler, wooded areas. The does will be closer to your open fields. They do not mix together. It's really interesting. If you look at our breeding pens here on the farm, we leave our breeder buck in with the bred does, the pregnant moms. But if you look at where they lay and how they lay together, the bucks are always in a back corner by themselves, and the does are always more or less up front. They don't mix, or they don't really rest together. They separate themselves. And I think it's just nature's way of not overdoing an area.
Mm-hmm.
You think about if you put five does into a little woods in an alfalfa field, for example, when they give birth, theoretically, they should all have twins. Well, you just went from 10 to 30 deer.
Right.
Well, these bucks, they consume an enormous amount of food. They take up a lot of area. They really can't be in the same place. So during the spring and summer months, yeah, you if you find bucks and see where bucks are, you probably will not have many does or doe fawns, any fawns in that area. They separate.
And, you know, when I was having this conversation with this gentleman, I was speaking with Doug Roberts right now, you know, I kind of went through this and told him the same thing, but it's just funny how this show has changed me. And Alex and I were talking about it on air or off air a little bit ago, talking with Brian Brosdahl, talking with you and other people on the show. You know, before I started the show, I thought I knew something about hunting and fishing. And I find now 14, almost 15 years later, I still know nothing as we go through this, because it just amazes me.
Yeah, you know so much more than, you know, when we first started doing this and talking to each other. But you got to understand, I 29 years of living 24/7 with deer and literally in amongst them, I'm still learning. There's things that I still learn every single year that just amaze me. Now, it's littler, more detailed than just the broad general things. But those little details really help when I do get a chance to hunt. How do I set stuff up? Where do I go? What can I expect? I can get away with some things that the average hunter probably can't as far as movement, because when I look at a deer, I know pretty much what they're going to do before they do it.
But right.
It tells me what I can or can't do. So, kind of fun.
Well, I tell you, man, we've learned a lot over the course of the years. We're going to continue to learn more as long as we can bring this show. And we thank you and Karen over at Conquest Sense for helping us stay afloat. You know,
we're happy to be a part of it.
And, yeah, you guys have been friends a long time, and we appreciate it. We appreciate our friends at Not Just Guns. Find them online at notjustguns.com. Visit the link via our website at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast there as well. And don't forget United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And they've got a lot going on, and they are helping us with the truth about CWD.com. I'm Duran Martinez. More coming your way here on the Michigan Talk Network.